Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our service with the singing of Psalter 94, the first four verses. Thy mercy and thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky. Thy judgments are a mighty deep, and as the mountains high. It is the first four verses of Psalter 94.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found, 2 Peter chapter 3. But first, let us do a confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned 2 Peter chapter 3. In this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us on this last evening of this year. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful, gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the creator of all things, and thou art the upholder of all things, in thee we live and move and have our being. And Lord, at the very end of this year, as we may be together in thy house again, in thy long-suffering patience unto us unworthy sinners, Lord, we beg that as we have gathered together, the doors of thy house were opened again, we may come to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Lord, then give ears to hear. Open our spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enlighten our spiritually darkened minds unto the truths of thy word, of who we are, of who thou art, and of that only way of salvation through thy dear Son, and give new hearts. Give a heart that hates sin, that loves righteousness, those hearts that hunger and thirst for the living God, that long for a visit, long for a token, long for a word from above, a smile, a taste of thy mercy, of thy grace. Lord, come among us and richly bless thy word by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee that those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, oh, may tonight, at the end of this year, yet arrows be shot out, that they become wounded, that they become convicted in their hearts, that they're lost, and that they need to be reconciled unto thee. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would work powerfully, conquer hearts, as thou art that only one who can do. It's thy work, the work of an almighty sovereign Lord God of heaven and earth. Look upon those yet on that way to eternal destruction, on that broad way. May it be tonight. May it be the time of thy sovereign good pleasure that thou would yet pass many by and say, live, and that they may live. But remember all thy dear people also, Lord. Remember those poor and needy ones, those guilty ones, those struggling ones, those ones with riddles and questions, those ones longing for a little crumb, a little token, a little favor, a little taste of thy mercy from above, a crumb from the master's table. O Lord, we beg thee tonight by thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would not only be born again and convicted of their sins, but, oh, wilt thou come among us also to feed the hungry ones, to give a little water for the thirsty ones. Lord, then wilt thou open thy word, for if thou wilt not open, who can open? If thou wilt close, then it's closed. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give much prayer then, and that thou would come among us for thy name's sake. Lord, as we all reflect on this past year, then we all must bow before Thee and say, guilty. We're sinners. We've sinned against Thee, against Thy law, broken all Thy commandments again many times, but also guilty of the sin of unbelief by nature and also Thy people. How often we have gone astray. How often we have grieved Thee. O Lord, have mercy upon us all. We all need all our sins of this past year to be washed, to be cleansed away. And Lord, Thou hast provided by Thyself, through Thy Son, Thy only beloved Son, that unspeakable gift to come into this world to fulfill that law for transgressors, but also to provide that way back to Thee, that way to be cleansed, that way to be washed, that way to be restored back into Thy favor. O Lord, we beg Thee then, as Thou hast promised in Thy word, where two or three are gathered together in Thy name, Thou wilt be in the midst, be in our midst tonight. Lord, we ask then that Thou would give much prayer, and that many may be crying out unto Thee, Lord, come among us, and give those blessings that only can come from Thee, Lord. Unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Remember all in the congregation, all those sick and afflicted. We think of Mrs. Schulten in the hospital. Care for her, Lord. Remember her husband and her family. And we give Thee thanks that Mr. Len Josie could return home from the hospital. Thou hast made all things well unto this moment. Give him a broken and a thankful heart. Remember others who have sickness, serious sicknesses, diseases, waiting for tests, waiting for surgeries, using different means for their body and for their mind. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, bless all these means. And remember also all those among us who are mourning. We think especially of those families who will be mentioned at the end of this service. Lord, remember each one and all their cares and needs. Comfort them in their mourning. And Lord, we beg Thee that Thou would sanctify all these callings to our hearts, and that we may make haste for our life's sake, that we may hear Thy voice speaking, prepare to meet Thy God, and that we may feel the urgency, and that we may come upon our knees begging Thee for grace and for mercy for unworthy sinners. Lord, we beg Thee, do it for Thy name's sake, for there's no reason in us Thou could pass us by because we're sinful. But we beg Thee, Lord, have mercy. In Thy wrath, remember mercy. Bless all the seed that was sown in all the different ways, in the preaching, in the reading sermons, in the Bible studies, in the confession of faith class, in the catechism classes, in the homes, in the house visitation, at school. Lord, bless Thy word richly, mightily, powerfully. Thou hast said that it will never be in vain, that Thou wilt accomplish the purpose. Lord, do it then among us, and give that hearts may be renewed. Give that children may be born again, teenagers, adults, older ones. And we beg Thee, Lord, then in this evening, that Thou would come among us and give, that Thy word may speak, that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and that we may hear, it's a message, the Lord is speaking unto us, that the Lord is yet willing to speak one more time. Oh, may we be given attentive hearts, hearing ears, enlighten minds, and that Thy word may be richly blessed, Lord. Come among us for Thy name's sake. Have mercy. May Thy kingdom come. Lord, wash and cleanse us of all our many sins. And we beg and ask all these things for Thy name and because of Thy Son who sits at Thy right hand, in whom Thou art well pleased, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this evening's worship service with singing from Psalter 378, all three stanzas. Give thanks to God, for good is He, His grace abideth ever. To him all praise and glory be. His mercy faileth never. His wondrous works with praise record. His grace abideth ever. The only God, the sovereign Lord, whose mercy faileth never. Psalter 378, all three stanzas. And the collection for tonight is for the church. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, as we all reflect on this past year, then we all must say before the Lord, if the Lord would mark our iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with him. What a wonder. And we read in Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we heard of the Lord's compassion, his faithfulness, his mercy, and it's also his mercy that at the end of this year that he yet wants to speak to us one more time from his precious word. And tonight, then, I would like to draw your attention from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 11. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So far from God's precious word. The theme tonight is the great day of the Lord, Jesus Christ's return. The great day of the Lord. We read in verse 10, but the day of the Lord. So, the great day of the Lord, Jesus Christ's return. Three thoughts. First, the reason for seeming delay of his return. The reason for the seeming delay of his return, and we will focus on verse 9. Why? Divine mercy. So second, the guaranteed reality of his return. We read that in verse 10. Divine judgment. The Lord will return. And then last, the right response to his return. We hear this message. What is the right response? What is the right response for all of us? What is the right response, especially for the children of God? And so we'll consider those different thoughts from the word of God. So the great day of the Lord, Jesus Christ's return. The reason for the seeming delay of his return. The guaranteed reality of his return. And the right response to his return. And so with the help of the Lord, our first thought tonight. The reason for the seeming delay of his return. Let's read verse 9 again, congregation. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we heard two words. We heard slack and slackness. What does that mean? What is Peter saying? Why did he write that? What does slack mean? That means not to move quickly or with haste. To take a comparatively long time or slackness demonstrates an absence of being in a hurry. So we hear of a delay, a seeming delay. Why did Peter write this? Why did he come to this point in this chapter? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In the time of Peter, there were those who were mocking about that the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth that the church said that he would return. They were mocking about that the Lord Jesus Christ would return and judge all nations. Today in the world, if you also share this truth, maybe in universities, or in colleges, or at your work. People don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear it. Why? Man has his paradise on this earth. He wants to live in this paradise that he makes. He doesn't want it interrupted with the thought that the world will come to an end, that the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and that he will stand before a holy and righteous judge. And they mock with this truth, this doctrinal truth of the Bible, which the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about. They tried to mock and scoff it away. We read this in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. So mockers of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every time someone mocks about that truth, it actually is a confirmation that it is the truth. Listen to what Spurgeon wrote. Every time a blasphemer opens his mouth to deny the truth of Jesus Christ's return, he will help to confirm us in our conviction of the very truth which he denies. The Holy Ghost told us by the pen of Peter that it would be so. What are they mocking about? What's the reason? They say that the Christians have talked for many years. For example, Christians today have talked for 2,000 years that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. But everything just continues as it is. Millions today don't believe at all that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. They don't believe it at all. We read in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And I think also of climate change today. Trying to save the earth. And yes, we need to care for this earth. But they're trying to save this earth. And you talk to those people, as I have, and you talk to them, you tell them the world's going to come to an end. And they get very upset and they begin to mock with you. They don't want to hear anything of this at all. So Peter says in verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of. Peter tells them that they are ignorant. No, they are willingly ignorant of the truth. They are ignoring the historical truth. Why? Because they are enemies of God and love their sinful self and want nothing to do with the Lord. And they are willingly ignoring what? They are ignoring two historical facts that has happened in the history of this world. Which two facts? What do we read in those following verses? It's creation and a worldwide flood, as we read in verse 5 and 6. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So that's creation. And then verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. The floods. Peter uses two Old Testament historical facts to speak to them. To say you're wrong, mockers. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter is saying, you mockers, you blasphemers about this truth, you can mock all you want, and you can ignore those true historical facts. You can willingly ignore them, but the Lord Jesus Christ will return. You are wrong. You need to repent. You need to listen to the truth, to the facts of the Word of God, to the true history of the world. The Lord has spoken in the past. The Lord has created things. The Lord has destroyed all things with the flood. And he will return. He will destroy this earth again with fire. It doesn't help to ignore it. It doesn't help to mock. It only makes your judgment even greater. We read in Romans 2 verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So why do people want to deny the facts, the historical facts of the Word of God? Why do people in this world want to deny creation and also deny the worldwide flood? Why? What's the reason? Have you ever talked to them? Why? Because they don't want to consider that God is God. They don't want to consider that the Lord Jesus Christ is King. They want to be their own gods. They want to live their own life. They resist every thought that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he rules over all things, that he has kept this world unto this very moment, until the end of 2025. They don't want to even consider, and that's you and me by nature, that Jesus Christ is on the throne, that he rules and guides all things. But may I ask you, at the end of this year, who is king in your heart? Who is king in your life? Are you still king? Maybe you don't mock, but are you still king, unwilling to surrender to the truths of the Word of God? How should we answer these mockers? And I'll come closer in a moment. But how should we answer mockers in the world about the truth of the Word of God? We should use the Bible. Begin with creation. Tell them the Lord has created everything. The Lord has created everything for one purpose, for his honor and for his glory. Tell them that we have sinned and rebelled against God, and that God has the right to cast us all into eternal wrath forever. Tell them that sin offends God. Tell them about sin. Tell them about hell. Tell them also the gospel. Tell them of the free and sovereign grace of God. Tell them about that precious Savior that came at Christmas, that unspeakable gift. Tell them they need to be reconciled with God. Tell them all the truths of the Bible, as simple as you can, and pray for them that they would be renewed, convicted, and begin to bow before the King, King Jesus. And so the old world was destroyed by a flood, and the present world, the world that we live in now, congregation, will be destroyed with fire. And we can mock. People can mock. Unbelievers. And that maybe you say those mockers, would the Lord stop their mouths? And maybe you think of those people that they would stop mocking. But I want to speak to you now. I need to speak to you tonight. My friend, I think we all know the truth, from the youngest to the oldest, that this world will not continue, that this world will come to an end. The Lord Jesus Christ will return, and he will destroy this whole world. I think we all know this truth. But may I ask you, do you live like an atheist, knowing the truth, and just ignoring this, just living your life, coming to church, good, but do you just continue on? Who's worse? Who's worse? Those people that don't grow up under the means of grace and are ignorant and mock, and maybe they know a little, but they mock about it. But us, the Lord has separated us. He has separated us in his goodness and his mercy. And do we know this truth? And do we just live on? On? That's worse. My friends, the Lord will return. He will return. And children of God, yes, it's a precious message for you tonight too. The end of this year reminds us also, it's 1 year closer to his return. 1 year closer to your eternal redemption. And then in this chapter, Peter speaks and he uses a few phrases from Psalm 90 in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. For the Lord, time is nothing. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And so in this context, Peter is arguing. He's laying before these people. He's writing to them. He's laying it before their hearts that they may hear. You may ignore, you may mock, but the Lord is going to return. And you think he's slack concerning his promise. And so let's think about that. We read in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. So humanly speaking, because the Lord is not slack at all, but humanly speaking, why does it seem that he delays his return? May I ask you, why are you still alive at the end of 2025? Why has the Lord refrained himself to coming to this earth and pouring out his righteous and just wrath upon all the enemies and all the wickedness and destroying it all? Why? There's a message for us. And may it break your heart. May it break your heart for the first time or by renewal. What does Peter say? What does he write in verse 9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. And now listen. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We hear of God's mercy. We hear of his long-suffering. The Lord is tried when he sees all that sin and wickedness upon this earth, and it causes him to suffer, humanly speaking. Long-suffering. He sees all that sin, but he doesn't pour out his wrath. He's long-suffering. He's patient. Divine mercy. And Peter also wrote that in verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. So why? Why does it seem that the Lord delays his return? And think about yourself at the end of this year of 2025. Why has the Lord not returned? Or why are you still living? It's not because of his forgetfulness. Not at all. He's God. It's because God is not willing that any should perish. God has extended the time of grace for you unto this very end of this year because he has no pleasure in your death. He's not willing that any should perish. What did Paul write in a parallel verse to this one? In 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is amazing. Yes, congregation, this is the Lord. May I say it this way? In this text, we have a little tiny glimpse into who God is. No, God is not a tyrant. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, as we heard earlier this year. His pleasure is that men come to repentance, that boys and girls come to repentance and come to faith in his own Son, the Almighty God that we have sinned against. He extends our time. He hasn't called you out of this life yet. He hasn't returned. Why? Because he's full of mercy, full of compassion. What do we read in Psalm 86, verse 15? But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous, and mercy, and truth. Why are you still living, enemy of God? Why are you still living, unrighteous, wicked, dead sinner, living in your own, according to your own desires and pleasures? Why? Why did God keep your life unto this very end, unto this very moment? Why has the Lord Jesus Christ has not returned yet? Because he's full of mercy and love. Full of mercy. That's who the Lord is. Let's read Ezekiel 33, verse 11 again. We read, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? At the end of this year, the Lord still wants to speak to you. What a wonder. And the Lord wants to speak unto you that it's long-suffering, patience, and mercy. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why? Because he wants your heart to be broken by his goodness, that you see that you only resist against all the goodness, all the mercy, all the grace that he has given in this past year. All those sermons, Every time in your home the Bible was opened, all that you heard in confession of faith, catechism classes, in home, in the reading service, in the live preaching, in the Bible studies, the Lord was speaking. He was laying his word before you. It was his mercy. And every day is a gift, a precious gift. And the Lord is saying, seek me and live. Seek me. Every day is another day to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. What love. What mercy. Why does the Lord delay his return? What's the doctrinal truth? And I think we all know, because all his beloved people are yet not yet gathered in. That's why. Because when the last one's gathered in, then he will return. He will turn. That's a doctrinal truth. But who are the elect is God's secret will. It's God's secret will. And my friend, you and I must obey his revealed will, his revealed word of God. And now let's go to the time of Noah, because Peter writes about this, the time of Noah. How many were decreed to enter into that ark? 8 people. Noah didn't know. Noah didn't inquire, inquisitively try to find out how many will there be. No, what did Noah do? He was a preacher of righteousness. Then you can see Noah going to those people and preaching, proclaiming God's wrath is going to come. You need to be in the ark. You need to make haste for your life's sake. Peter or Noah, I can see him as that preacher of righteousness, urging the people. His heart must have broke because they became so hard and resistant, and they were probably also mocking at that time. It will rain. There'll be a flood. There's going to be a worldwide flood. We need to get into an ark. Foolishness. And Noah was called to compel them to enter into that ark, as all of God's servants are, to compel them. And I must also do everything in my power, and yet I'm powerless, to lay it before your heart, the word of God, to urge you, to compel you, that you need to be in the ark. The Lord is going to return. No, you don't need to be in that wooden ark. You need to be in the ark. You need to be in that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I must compel you. I must do everything as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to lay the law before your heart, to become guilty, to proclaim the gospel. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 120 years he could preach. 120 years a preacher of righteousness. And then God's patience was ended. His time was ended. God finally poured out his wrath upon that people. And yet, what a time of mercy. This past year is a time of mercy. It's the goodness of God unto us unworthy sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ will return. He will come. He will come. And the earth will be destroyed with fire. And only those that were in the ark in the time of Noah were saved. And only those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, true saving faith in him, shall be saved. All others shall perish. I hope you hear it. It's his long-suffering patience and mercy. He's calling you yet at the end of this year to repent. He's calling you yet to bow. He's calling you yet to make haste for your life's sake, to flee to that only ark, to flee to that only Savior. And that's my prayer through the preaching of the word, that at the end of this year, that dead sinners may yet become living sinners, become guilty sinners, become lost sinners, become brokenhearted, and start to cry out, wrath, wrath, eternal wrath, like Christian, and flee that city of destruction. And I must point you to that only door, to that only ark, that only Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we come to the end of our first thought, the seeming delay, God's mercy. What was the theme? The great day of the Lord, Jesus Christ's return. What's our second thought? The guaranteed reality of his return. Children, you know that ark, right? Then God called Noah into that ark. And did Noah then shut the door? No, he didn't shut the door. The Lord shut the door. Everyone that was in was saved. Everyone outside was lost. And the door of grace is still open. What a wonder. We just take it for granted. We don't even think about it. But the door of grace is still wide open. And God has given in this past year that his word could be proclaimed. And it's still tonight at the end of this year. The door is still open. But one day that door of grace, which is wide open for the chiefest of sinners, will be closed. It will be closed. God will shut that door. No more time for repentance. No more time for prayer. No more time. Yes, they will cry, but it's too late. The day of grace is over. All outside of the ark of Jesus Christ will eternally be lost. Congregation, he's going to come. It's the end of the year. We should think of the end of our life. We should think also the end of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. He will come. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. The day of the Lord is coming. He will come. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. Open your Bibles and let's listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 33. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 33. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other end. Now learn a parable of the... Matthew, sorry. 25, verse 31 and 33. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaks that he will come, he will return. When will he return? Congregation, when will he return? The Lord has given us signs in the Bible. The Lord is going to come, and he's going to pour out his just wrath upon this earth. And we read in Matthew 24 of those signs. And we live in the last times. We do. We live. What's the signs? Wars, rumors of war, famines, earthquake, pestilences, false prophets. Christians will be hated, betrayed, killed. Iniquity will abound. And what else? Love will wax cold. Love will wax cold. And what else? The gospel will go throughout the nations. It will go out through the nations. And we believe also there will be a great blessing upon God's covenant people. A great conversion of the Jews, of the covenant people. And then there will be a great tribulation, which the earth has never, ever known. As we read in Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And it's getting closer. Every year it's getting closer. It's closer. And we see more and more of those signs. But when will he return? I've heard it from a man from his own mouth. He said, listen, he's going to return on such a date. And I said, my friend, that's impossible that you know. And he says, no, I know because the Lord revealed it to me. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? In Mark 13, verse 32, but of that day and on that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. He will return. And God the Father knows the exact time. And how will people be living? How will they be living? What do we read? In Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were they doing? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. You say there's nothing wrong with that. They were doing things that we do today, but they were doing all those things without God. Without God. They were doing it for their own pleasure. And then the flood came. And so it will be. The Lord will return. Peter said, and it's the Lord's inspired, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He will come. Sometimes we make promises, right? We make promises, but we can't fulfill them. We don't have the power, or we even forget them, or other circumstances change, and we cannot fulfill a promise. But God is that infinite, almighty, powerful God, and he said he will come, and he will come. No, he is not, we say with much reverence, he doesn't forget. He's that faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah. He will come. We read in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The Almighty God has promised the day of the Lord is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said he will return. Church of God, he said, what is he doing now? What do we read in John 14, verse 3? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so, Church of God, listen, the promise, he will come. Right now, he is preparing a place, but he will come. And he will come to take you home. He will deliver you out of this world. He will bring you home. He's coming to deliver forever. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. It's a guaranteed reality because it's the Lord's word. It's not a word of man. But then how does Peter describe when the Lord will come? He describes it. It will come as how, children? What did he say? As a thief in the night. Paul also wrote this, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What does that mean? Why did Paul write that expression, as a thief in the night? Well, if a thief's coming, he doesn't first send us a message that he's going to come, that he's going to break into our house. No, he comes unexpectedly. He comes suddenly when we wouldn't absolutely expect it. So the Lord is going to return, and he's going to return unexpectedly as a thief in the night. So what's the lesson for us? What's the lesson for us? Make haste for your life's sake. What's the lesson for us? That we should be expecting his return at any moment. We should be living that he could return at any moment, and that we would make haste to be in that ark, to be hidden under the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ, to be washed in his blood. May I ask you, at the end of this year, the Lord has not returned. It's his divine mercy. And yet, he is going to return. He's going to pour out his divine judgment upon this earth. Are you ready? Are you ready? Who was ready in the time of Noah? Only those that were in the ark. Who will be ready for when he returns or when you die? Only to be in Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote, there is therefore now no condemnation to them what? Who are in Christ Jesus. Only those by God's grace who have been born again. Only those by God's grace who have become completely lost in self. As we have heard in the past weeks, who become black in self but comely in Christ, those are the only ones who are ready for his return. Do you hear the urgency? I hope you hear it. You need to be in the ark. You need to be under those wings of that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will return. And what will happen when he returns? What did Peter say? He will come as a thief in the night, and he will destroy everything with fire. Everything will be purged. Everything will be burned up. This whole world, all places of sin. Your dear idol of whatever you have, it will be burnt up. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your car. It will be burnt up with fire. All those things that you set your heart upon, all burnt up. This church will burn. Our houses will burn. Everything will be burnt up with fire. Everything absolutely destroyed when the Lord comes with his judgments upon this earth with fire. And I want to lay something before your heart. We read something else about when the Lord returns. And we read about fire. Please open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians 1. And we will read verse 8 and 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9. Who will experience fire? Who will be burnt up in the wrath of God? 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory. The Lord is going to return. And he's especially going to pour out fire upon whom? All those wicked people that kill babies in the world. All those wicked people, those transgender and all those wicked people. No, we need to look within. We need to look at ourselves. Who are the most wicked upon this earth? What do we read? Of whom he will pour fire out? Those who obey not the gospel. Who heard the gospel? Who heard the precious preaching of the gospel for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50, 60, or 80, but obeyed not the gospel, refused to surrender to that only king. And it's our guilt. If you're not bowing before that king, I must tell you at the end of this year, it's your guilt. You can't have any excuses. May you lose them all. But my prayer is, yet at this last hour, that there's arrows, that you become guilty. Guilty from the word of God, from his mouth. Thus saith the Lord, he will pour fire upon those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you become lost and that you become, by God's grace, surrendering, bowing, confessing guilt, and that you may flee to the only place of refuge. I would say it as Psalm 2 verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's sing about that Psalter, or that psalm, from Psalter 3, stanzas 1 and 3. Psalter 3, stanzas 1 and 3. Wherefore do the nations rage, and the people vainly dream, that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme? Christ his Son a scoff they make, and the rulers plotting say, their dominion let us break, let us cast their yoke away. Psalter 3, stanzas 1 and 3. Congregation, we read in 2 Peter 3, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversation in godliness? And conversation means conduct. So here we read of the right response to his return. We heard it. He will return. It's seeming delay because of his divine mercy, but he will return. What's the right response to this message that he will return? The truth that the Lord Jesus Christ will come upon the clouds of the heaven and he will destroy everything with fire. This message should govern our hearts and our life of how we should live upon this earth. How should we live? Knowing that everything will be purged, destroyed with fire. Should we set our hearts upon this world? Should we love the world? Should we love the things of the world? If we love the things of the world as we do by nature and continue loving the things of the world, then we will only perish with the world. Or has it come different in your heart? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You see things so different. You have been given spiritual eyesight. Yes, you're thankful for the gifts of God, but this world is not your home no more. You can't set your heart on things no more. My friend, what is it at the end of this world? Is your heart in this world and loving the things of this world? Or is your heart not in this world anymore? Open your Bible and we'll read what John wrote in the first epistle, chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. It's a message for you and me at the end of this year, considering, hearing that the world will be destroyed. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May I ask you at the end of the world, the end of this year, how are you living? What's in your heart? Are you still loving the world? Trying to suck everything out of this world as much as you can, living as we read in Ephesians 2, according to the lust of your flesh? Or are you in the world, but not of the world? Are you looking for a world to come? Is that you? Are you living only according to your flesh? Then you will perish with the world, my friend. The Lord still says tonight, at the end of this year, repent, confess your sin, confess your wickedness. Are you living with a false hope of salvation on quicksand? What's that? On every other place except for Christ, for that only rock. What's your hope? What's your hope of your eternal destination? Are you still living in the world, of the world? Then you perish with the world. Or by God's grace, listen, is this your heart? Through the preaching of the word of God, by the means of grace, are you in the world, but it doesn't have your heart no more? It doesn't have your heart no more. You long to desire to serve and to obey the Almighty God. Are you fighting against your own desires of your flesh in the world? It attracts, but you cut it off. Because it only leads to death. Is your only hope? Where is it? May I ask you, at the end of this year, where's your hope? Is it in self? Is it something that maybe you've experienced? Or is your hope only upon that only foundation, Jesus Christ? Are you fleeing? Are you fleeing and looking to that only ark, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that your life? Remember prayer day? What did we preach about? What did we hear about? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Did you sigh along? Is that your heart? Lead me. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. I need the rock. You can't get there. Is that your heart? Have you been blessed under the word? Thanksgiving Day. Remember the message? Psalm 106. Remember me.
Just a sigh, just a cry. You have nothing. Remember me. Visit me with thy salvation because you need it. And you know he's the only one who can give it to you. Is that you? Is that your heart? Is your heart like we thought of and meditate on Psalm 51? Wash me, cleanse me, make me pure within. Is that your heart at the end of this year? Cleanse me from all my iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Is this your heart? Through the preaching of the word of God, through the reading from the means of grace, by God's sovereign mercy and grace, is that you, looking to the rock, crying to the rock, begging for salvation in him, to be washed, to be cleansed, or are you still looking to everything in this world? The Lord Jesus is going to return. And that should be good news, is it? It should be good news for those sheep. Because those sheep begin to long to be delivered from what? Sin, self, world, and the attacks of Satan. And he's going to come and he's going to take them home, forever delivered from all sin, forever with him. Dear children of God, how should you live with this message? How should you live? Especially, we read directions to the children of God. He could come at any moment. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew 24, verse 42? Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord cometh. What does it mean to watch? Be alert, looking, be longing for his return. That's how you should live. Congregation, Noah preached 120 years. He could not bring one of those people. He couldn't bring one into that ark. I've only preached many mistakes, poor preaching, nothing to be proud of, only for 1 year and a few months. But I can say with all my heart, I wish I could bring you into that ark. I wish I could take you and bring you, but I can't. I can't even bring myself in there. I need everything from him. But my heart for you, congregation, is that you would be in that ark, that you would see it. Why don't we see it? Because we don't really believe who we are. Remember? So. Remember that first sermon? We're not so bad, but we're not so good. We're just so. No, we're not so, congregation. We're wicked. We're sinful. We're unrighteous. We're one mass of sin. And I pray by the word of God that you begin to see that. And that you see God is love, absolutely abundant in mercy, but also just and righteous. And he will by no means clear the guilty. And he sent his son to be the guilty one. Why? So guilty ones in him. In him that ark can be saved, can be redeemed, can be brought home into those mansions above forever in his presence. My dear congregation, I wish I could persuade you, but I can't. But I know there's one who can. That's my hope. That gives me courage. That gives the consistory courage. That can give you courage, parents, with your children. Maybe children have gone way into the world. You don't even see them anymore. They're not under the means of grace. Because of him, he lives. He's the faithful one. He's the one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you may beseech him. And I beseech him. Maybe not enough. But there's times on my knees, I just beg him, Lord, work. Save those little boys. Save those girls. Save those older ones. Save those ones that resist against everything. Don't like the preaching sometimes because it pricks them in their heart. Save them, Lord. Save them all. Save them. Have mercy. Deliver them. For thy name's sake, because there's nothing in us. But he said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. So there's hope because he's living. And that irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, I pray, takes the word, his word, and brings it home into hearts, that sinners become born again, become lost, become stripped, become absolutely unrighteous, bankrupt. And I pray that the gospel is richly blessed, that sinners may begin to see a little something of that precious rock, of that precious Savior, of those wounds that he willingly gave. He gave himself. And he was wounded. Why? He took all that wrath of God the Father upon him. The fire of God's wrath fell upon him. And now that cup that he drank, it's empty. Why? So that when he returns, he can bring sheep home. Sheep home, and he can proclaim with joy, as he said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Oh, to hear that message. He's coming. That's the most blessed message. But there's another part, a most horrible message. I must also tell you tonight, at the end of this year, the other message. It will be to those who have heard the gospel. And we don't like to hear this. We don't. But I have to tell you, it's God's word. It's our guilt. And I know there's poor, needy beggars struggling. I know that. And may the Lord, by his word, give opening and draw them. But he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, may you hear it, and that you may make haste. May your heart be broken, that unto this very end of this year, the Lord still wanted you to hear his word, and to hear of his long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness to absolutely unworthy sinners through his dear Son. And children of God, sheep of the good shepherd, how should you be living? How should you be living? Verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? When he returns, will he find you living this way? How should you be living? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. How should you be living, church of God?" Verse 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent." And now listen. "That ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." You see it? You need to be in him, abiding in him, living in him, like Mary. And may you look with longing for his return. We should be an Advent church, looking, no, not to his first coming, to his second coming. Why? Because then we will be delivered into his glory. Then for his glory, we can serve him without any sin. Serve him in fullness as he is worthy to be served. Children of God, may that be, that you end this year and begin the next year, the Lord willing, as we read what we have read in verse 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, for his coming, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Dear congregation, make haste for your life's sake. And church of God, he's coming. He promised, and he will not delay. He will come at his perfect time to deliver you. Amen. Almighty, eternal, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee that thou would apply thy word by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Bring it into hearts. Lord, thy word is sharper than any two-edged sword and can pierce each hard heart. Oh, we beg thee, do it for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the salvation of sinners. And oh, may thy people also consider that thou art coming, that they may be living, that we may be living as an Advent people, not in the world, but not of the world. Lord, help. May we be that people that long for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. And that we may say as Paul, "To depart is better to be with thee." Lord, remember us in thy mercy. Remember those families whose names will be mentioned, who are grieving and mourning because of the loss of a loved one in this past year. Lord, may we lay each one of them before thee again. Comfort them, Lord, and have mercy. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now Psalter 422, stanza 6. 422, stanza 6. "Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is our fortress and our tower." And what follows?
422, stanza 6. Wish to remember the passing away of this year of three members: Brinley Brayman, May 24th, 2025, at 8 weeks; Mrs. Marilyn Booter, September 7th, 2025, at 80 years; and also Bo Colmes, December 16, 2025, a stillborn at 17 weeks. We read in the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." May we remember one another in prayer, and especially these families. May we mourn with those that mourn, and so fulfill the law of Christ to carry one another's burdens. Let us sing now from Psalter 244, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 244, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. "Lord, through all the generations of the children of our race, in our fears and tribulations, thou hast been our dwelling place." And what follows? 244, 1, 3, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.